Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the New Hollywood Podcast at Deadline. My name is Dina Ray Ramos, and I'm here with my co-host,
Amanda Nduka.
So today's guest is Phoebe Robinson. She's one half. She's one half of Two Dope Queens. Two Dope Queens is a podcast which is adapted into a HBO special that's airing on February 2nd. Phoebe Robinson has been seen on Amazon's I Love Dick. She has a movie coming out in, I think next year, called Ibiza. She's up and coming.
Yeah, and she was a female woman of color comedian.
Yes.
Blazing a trail.
So she talks about how her experience in the stand-up world as a woman and a person of color, how that translates into Hollywood and film and TV. And yeah, she has just a bunch of good insight into that world. And in this moment of Time's Up and Me Too, it couldn't be any more relevant.
So without further ado, let's welcome Phoebe Robinson.
So today we have Phoebe Robinson, one of Two Dope Queens.
Oh my God!
The New Hollywood Podcast.
For people that are not like in the podcast world and not familiar with your show, one, can you talk about how you and Jessica came up with the concept?
Yeah.
What inspired it? And how do you think it will translate on television?
Okay, cool. So it's 2018, so.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Sometimes I forget.
Right, I'm like, what is it? And so I think Jess and I met 3.5, 4 years ago. I was doing background on a piece she was doing for the Daily Show about Black women's hair in the military. So it was very kind of fate, as you consider how much her and I talk about Black hair. That's how we met. And you know, if you guys have been to TV shoots, it's a lot of it is just waiting around to then go. And so we're just like chatting, and you know, we both started out doing improv. Like, I did UCB in New York and she did Upright Citizens Brigade in LA. And so you're just kind of like, you know, especially in the improv world, which is heavily straight, white, and male, you really kind of know the other, you know, women of color who are doing stuff.
Yeah.
And so we kind of were aware of each other. And then we were just hanging out on set and just chatting and talking. And I had a podcast it was a really rinky dink podcast that I used to do out of my apartment, my first apartment that I got by myself in New York. It was a one bedroom that had a nasty mold problem in the bathroom. So bad that at one point the ceiling collapsed into the tub while it was like,
Were you in the tub?
I was in the tub. I was like at a comedy show. And I got home and I found this and I was just like, oh, but anyway, I had this like really crummy apartment and I had this podcast I used to do called Blaria Live, which is like Black Daria.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, hey, do you want to be a guest on the show? It's like not jankety, like White Snack has done it. It's like really cool. We'll just like hang out and chat. So she came over to my place and then we did the podcast. We had a great time. She said her birthday was coming up. I asked her what she wanted to do. She's like, well, I've always wanted to try stand up. And I go, well, I have a show that I do at UCB East. Do you want to just co-host it with me as like a goof for your birthday? And we'll like, you know, you'll have cake. It'll be like whatever. And she's like, okay, sure. So she leaves. I accidentally delete the podcast because not texting. I know. I was like trying to record within like SoundCloud and like edit. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, she just like left in garage.
So there's a lost episode.
There is a lost episode. I was like trying to get it back. So I like texted her. I was like, I totally just deleted her episode, but I hope you still want to co-host the show with me. And she's like, great. So we planned on doing like all the stuff, like video stuff. And we just got so busy that it was like the day of the show, 15 minutes beforehand, I was like, well, what are three things that happened to you? She's like, what are three things that happened to you this week? And we were both like, well, we have an improv background, so I think we'll be fine just hosting just based off of like topic ideas that we have. And we had a really great time and it really just kind of worked. Like, we were both kind of like, this is crazy. Like, we just kind of are riffing and improvising and we haven't done improv in a while. And from that, we just kind of were like, okay, this is cool. It's like a really good first date, you know, yeah. We like smash or whatever. And so we're like, we'll do it again. And then we're like, okay, we'll keep doing it. And then like, well, like, let's maybe turn this into a podcast. And I was like, well, we can just like, I could just record it. And I think she was like, no. We saw how that worked out before. And she was like, well, I've done, I forget which, what party, dinner party download or something. On WNYC. And she was like, maybe this would be something they would be into. So we basically invite them out to a show and they sort of pitch like, this is what our show would be. And WNYC like immediately jumped on it. And it really was kind of cool because I think in the podcasting world, there, outside of like Another Round, there really hadn't been like two women of color just hanging out on a podcast, talking the way that they talk, not like trying to sound like Ira Glass or like the Radiolab people, just really authentically being ourselves. And we're talking about, you know, interracial dating and black hair and celeb guys we have crushes on and like some crazy racist stuff that happens to us. And I think, you know, it just really show that there's an audience of not only like black women, but other people who want to hear different perspectives than what's in the podcasting world. And it's basically that's what we're doing in the HBO special. So we're really lucky that we can keep that same thing going.
So as a woman of color in comedy, you already know where this is going.
Yes.
How have you seen the landscape in the comedy world change since you first started?
Yeah, I've been doing comedy for almost 10 years now. I really think the internet has been like the great equalizer in a way. Because you had, you know, someone like Issa Rae probably would not have come out, or at least she wouldn't have been able to have a project on HBO where she is writing, starring in it, producing it, you know, having like such a hand in the creative process. We can like really like refine our voices by the time we get to like HBO. Like there wasn't that learning curve that Jessica and I had to do with, well, how do we work together as a comedy duo? And I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that. By the time we got to HBO, it was such a, I mean, it was obviously still like intense because it's HBO, but it was a lot of things we didn't have to learn because we sort of figured out from working together for the past 3.5 years on smaller platforms. So I think that's been one big change. And I think another big change is I think that people are sort of recognizing the buying power of women, the buying power of people of color, the buying power of queer people. You know, I feel like, I remember when Bridesmaids came out and people were like, that's five of women.
Like, women are funny.
Right, and it was, people were truly shocked that it was, A, so good and that people went to go see it. But I think that now, like, you know, now we have Girls Trip, which came out, which is so funny, it's amazing. Made over $100 million at the box office. And someone like Tiffany Haddish is just like skyrocketed, you know what I mean? And I think people are like, again, wow, black women want to go see comedies? And it's like, yeah, there's all these audiences. So I think what's great is that money, it kind of like rules all.
It talks,
and,
right?
Yeah, talks. And I think now that we are in positions where you can't produce your own film starring people of color, or you can do your own podcast as you guys are doing. And if you have the following, you'll get the money.
So whenever somebody like an HBO or network comes and they say they want to do this project, is there a lot of change that happens, or do they keep let you keep kind of what you had been doing before? Because obviously that's what brought the audience.
Yeah, I remember when Jess and I were like, okay, we're going into like HBO. We gotta like make sure our hair looks good, and like we gotta make sure we have the right outfits. And we're like trying to come up with all these things. Like, well, maybe we can do sketches and this and that. So you know, we're in the meeting, and Nina Rosenstein over at HBO, who is amazing and awesome, she was just kind of like, just do what it is that you do, and we don't want it to not be the Teed Up Queens thing that you and Jessica have developed. And we were very relieved to hear that, but we were also kind of nervous. Like, I know for myself especially, I was like, well, what if the podcast was kind of the unknown magical element? Like, what is it going to look like if Jess and I just kind of do what we do in the podcast, but with cameras on? Like, our celebrities, when we do our interviews with them, not going to feel as comfortable? Because I think a lot of times podcasting, just everyone feels a little more chill, like you're in your jeans, you haven't done hair and makeup, and like you really just get to a vulnerable place really quickly. And so I was really worried that like it was going to kind of lose that kind of fun, unexpected vibe, and it really didn't. I think HBO just like helped elevate it, and we were able to get bigger names like a Sarah Jessica Parker to do it because she's John in the HBO. Stewart, Uzo Aduba, Titus Burgess. Like, we really got really awesome, funny people who, to my surprise, like actually listened to the podcast. I was like, SJV, you didn't have to, but thank you. But it was really nice that they like knew what the show was about and that it was going to be like super fun. And so I think that the fact that HBO kind of let us just do what we already do, I think is why I feel like the four specials are going to be very successful. At least I hope. Fingers crossed.
And I mean, we live in sensitive times right now, to say the least, with social media being kind of like the judge and the jury of whatever anybody says. And then comedies, I mean, it's known for covering a wide range of controversial topics, and with the recent Chappelle special and the you know, his take on certain topics, do you think that comedians still have a license to talk about these controversial topics in like a jokey manner? Like, what do you feel about that?
I will say, in all fairness, I have not watched the Chappelle specials yet, but I have heard that he makes some trans jokes, which I think comedians can be sensitive about receiving criticism and being kind of called out. I think comedians wouldn't be like, it's just words, it's just whatever. And I feel like, having done stand-up comedy, it's like you choose each specific word for a reason, for your joke to, in order to ramp it up to get that laugh at the end of the punchline. So what I think, to counteract some people just really being behind, you know, the times with how the world is changing. Like, I have a really good friend of mine, Nori Davis, who did warm up for the specials, and his brother, he has a trans brother, and his material about it is so smart and educated and nuanced, and it's not making fun of anyone. It's not like, look at this weirdo for trans. It's like, not about that. It's about really respecting the humanity of someone. And you can be funny and still respect people at the same time. And so I think a lot of comics, even though you just kind of want to, I just want to tell my jokes, I just want to do what I want to do, it's like, you do have to think about how your words are going to impact other people. Sometimes maybe people might be like a little hypersensitive to something. You can kind of like judge it, you know, case by case. But I think when you have a situation like how most of the world tends to treat trans people, how they are have a higher unemployment rate than other people, and how they're targeted and are victims of crimes at different race than people who are not trans, I think you really do have to be mindful of, is this really the argument that I want to make? Do I really want to make fun of someone for being trans and have that be the takeaway from my material? Or do I really want to spend... That's the other thing. It's like, I often wonder a lot of times if people do make kind of not like the most educated jokes about people who are different than them. It's like, have you ever spent any time with anyone who's not like you? You know what I mean? That might change your perspective a little bit when you write your material. And I think that comics can, I think there's a way to be funny about touchy topics without being disrespectful. And I think that a lot of times comics aren't always the most thoughtful about that, and they could be.
So, a final question. We asked this to our guest. Is there a underrated, underrepresented actor, writer, producer, creative in the industry that you think needs to be put in the spotlight
that
more?
You want to give a shout out to?
Yes. So, one of my good friends, Michelle Buteau, who is in the first episode of Two Dope Queen, she's an amazing stand-up comic. She's been on Key and Peele. She has a stand-up album out called Shut Up. She has a half-hour special on Comedy Central. She is one of the funniest people I have had ever had the pleasure of knowing. She's funnier than me, I think, by far. And she's so brilliant and sweet and kind and has like big hair, big boobs, big personality. Like she's just, she always says she's like a Lisa, like a low budget Lisa Bonet. And I'm like, you are high budget as they come. And I think that she's genius and amazing. And I think she's going to blow up.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Phoebe,
for doing this.
Thanks for having me. I'm like, it's over already. I know. Keep hanging out.
So Two Dope Queens is February 2nd?
Yeah, February 2nd, 11:30 p.m. Four episodes, one each Friday of Black History Month. Ow.
Oh, yeah.
Convinced so much. Yeah. Black Panther comes out.
I know. Too. I'm
like. It's going to be lit.
You can't avoid us.
Yeah. February is going to be lit.
Well, May is Asian American Heritage Month.
Shout it out.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure not that many
out.
People know that.
Yeah.
I know, so, right? Educate the people.
Oh.
Well, thank you so much again.
My God, that was fun.
It was great
thank
having you.
Thank you.